Welcome, everybody. Delighted to have back Lynette Zhang, the founder and CEO of Zhang Enterprises. Lynette, delighted to be talking with you again.
And Francis, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. And I was just mentioning in our preamble chat that I've been spending some amazing time with people about the debt-based collapse and gold and all of these unbelievable topics. And one of the key things, the only thing we can find to argue about, because there's so much consensus and agreement, is the timing. I have run into what I call my imminence syndrome, where I tend to think this can't really go much longer, and that what we're seeing with the cuts involving Donald Trump and Elon mm-hmm. are going to circle the debt spiral in. The statist employees are going to get cut. That's going to be more welfare. We've got to, it's almost like America's credit card has been pulled and we're seeing the right sizing of America. What's the timing and what's your take on where we are today in terms of all things debt?
Wow. Well, timing is the biggest challenge of any technician. And I will say that, so it's kind of hard, but I definitely agree with you that I've been feeling a quickening and an imminence. And I think that what we're going to see is by June, we're going to see a lot faster inflation here in the US. And there's just this little thin layer of confidence left in the public's opinion of the currencies. So, you know, it's hard. There was a lot of hopium when the current administration came in, but that seems to have evaporated and reality is beginning to set in. We just had the worst consumer confidence level since 2021, where we were still in the throes of the shutdown. And you're seeing on the spot markets, both gold and silver spiking as interest rates are declining, which is an indication. And we've had a inversion again in the 10-year yield. So, I mean, it feels to me like something very nasty this way is coming very soon.
It does. It feels there's a bid coming into debt because we've had the yield come down, and that's usually a fear-based thing, especially in lieu of the precariousness of the debt market. It's the Pavlovian response, chase into the dollar, get into T-bills. That shows concern about probably the equity, the hypervalued equity market. And I saw some consumer stats that were showing consumer looks very wrecked. PPI, production inputs, are going up in cost. Mm-hmm. But the producers are expecting to sell less and they're expecting to charge higher prices. This smells like deep, deep stagflation, doesn't it, Lynette?
It most certainly does. And that puts the U.S. and actually the world in a very precarious place, because I do see greater inflation and wages aren't keeping up in this consumer-driven economy. That is a big problem. And I think that's a problem that's being faced around the world. And the other part of it is too, is the level of uncertainty and all of the chaos that's happening with the machete slices of Elon, right? I mean, he's not going in and taking a look at it and taking a scalpel and cutting the fat. He's just going in with the machete and cutting everything. Do you think it's possible that there might be some unintended consequences of this behavior? And in the meantime, the world is stunned. The world is stunned. So, and a confused mind says, no, wait and see. And we could not ever be living in more interesting times than we are right this very second, but also very precarious and vulnerable.
I was describing the sudden dawning realization of, hey, we need to live within our means, that seems to have struck the Trump Elon axis. And I'm referring to him almost as if he's VP. It's almost, where have you been all this time, and almost why now? It's almost like the oil tank is about to hit the lighthouse and somebody's suddenly saying, hey, that's a lighthouse. Maybe we should turn right or left all of a sudden. I have that thought. which is coming about. And then I have the second thought, all the retrenchments that's going to come out of this mean more people flowing out of the economy, even though it's statist expenditure, and going on to welfare. In other words, you're not losing that salary really, because you're going to have to pay them unemployment. They're not going to get fastly recruited in the private sector, because that seems to be, as far as I'm concerned, recessional, and probably has been since we were initially recessional, but it didn't qualify. So it seems, and I use the analogy, Lynette, and tell me if I'm right. There's an aging man who smoked 20 a day, and he's been doing this for years, and he's a functional smoker. And he's going to, you know, he's 87, he's going to probably die by 92, but he gets on. And suddenly we've taken his cigarettes away and given him green smoothies. And I almost think that's more likely to kill him off quicker than his functional reliance, albeit an unhealthy one. What's your take? Is that analogy on song? How would you paraphrase the situation of suddenly cutting when you've become a debt junkie? I mean, we're taking the heroin away and we're on somebody who's consuming 10 times what normally gets consumed. What's your take there?
You know, it's actually kind of interesting, because on the one hand, they're taking that hopium, that heroin away. But on the other hand, what they're giving to substitute is not necessarily as healthy as a green smoothie, because the budget, well, it hasn't fully passed, but at this recording anyway, but it does appear that President Trump and Elon Musk, wherever he fits in that, are getting everything that they want, because they're just going in like a bull in a china closet and then begging forgiveness later, or dealing with legalities and the law and all of that. I think that is not a very healthy approach to the smoker or to anybody else. You know, you really have to wean yourself. You really have to look at what you're doing and how you really do need to change your lifestyle. And you need support during that. When you try and do it as you explained it, I mean, what is the level of success? But maybe it is about ushering in the needed crisis to get rid of all of this debt, and to get people into a position where they will accept the new iteration of money and the new financial system, social, economic, and so on many levels, Francis, this has given me a tremendous amount of hope, because I do believe that this is our best shot at getting sound money back in the system again, which is what we need to do. Because it's the only way that we will get fiscal responsibility from any of these governments or any of these central bankers.
But is it feasible? My take is it's too late to turn the oil tanker around. And in fact, the actions of attempting to do so are actually going to bring it forward rather than to draw it out. Is
exactly.
that correct? Yeah. I regularly say it's a mathematical certainty that we go into the financial collapse.
Oh.
And this is almost an accelerant. The sudden finding of sound money is almost the accelerant. And it makes me feel, timing wise, that I've never felt the highest level of probability that we're in a serious risk off environment about to hit us.
That is 100% correct. Look, I've been studying currency and currency life cycles since 1987, and there are repeatable patterns that happen, you know, every single time, right, to this government debt-based money. And when they need to usher in a new system, then they need a major crisis in order to do that. And so to your point, is this now an accelerant? Because again, going in with a machete, you're cutting everything down, the good as well as the bad, that's everything. So yes, and I'm right there with you. I mean, I've been in these markets on some level since 1964, which means that even though I was a teenager at the time and did not really understand the transition from a gold-backed currency into a purely debt-backed currency, I still lived through that chaos of the Vietnam War and all the protests and the oil embargo and the high inflation and the markets implosion. And never, not even, sometimes I get the same whiff, but I have never experienced before what we are experiencing now. I mean, seriously, this is a transition into a new social, economic, and financial system. It is a reset that I have personally been talking about openly since 2009, because the system really died in 2008, and it was just put on life support with all of this, all of this constant money printing, constant money devaluation, creating that inflation, because it is so simple. There's only one way to fight inflation, and that's with deflation. There's only one way to fight deflation, and that's with inflation. That's it. When you have those two choices, all those job losses, not just at the government level, but also at the corporate level. I think it's really important that Meta announced this massive job cuts and at the same time announced all of these extra bonuses for their higher echelon staff. I mean, it's I've never seen anything like this in all the years I've been in these markets.
Yeah, it's perverse. It feels like it is truly the enrichment of the billionaire class. And I've said inflation serves the billionaire class and destroys
Yes, it
everybody
does.
else. And it does. And as you say, the middle is just being more and more hollowed out. It's that Gini curve, just the big bite out the middle. Apart from maybe some welfare for, newly immigrants that are probably gaining in terms of their lifestyle, but everything else in between just seems to be crushed. And I like you, I just feel we should be buying puts and we should be buying gold. And the amazing thing I want to make a point, and I'm interested in your take on this, because of Bitcoin is not featuring. This discussion at the moment is all about gold and the movement of gold from the vaults. And I'm almost
Yes.
astounded that that media coverage is being allowed to get to us, because
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they've gamified this and said, we have gold bugs out there. And their big fantasy of when truth hits is when we all panic to get gold to hide the Fort Knox or give the impression it was always there or whatever has happened there. We don't know. But all this loaned bars coming from Switzerland, the UK, et cetera, it feels like we're going to get some sort of stage act from Elon and Trump where they will unveil and show that they have all the gold and maybe you'll extreme walking past all the gold and do this. It's all here, guys. And that maybe they'll try hit the gold price on that, the banking cartel. You say, because all this risk premium that was saw gold going up was on the basis that there's a decent chance maybe it isn't there and there's less. So they'll put on that show and show it's all there. Maybe we could be at a little localized top, but in the macro, it can only go up. So
Well,
what should people do?
we do need, there are so many things in what you just said to unpack.
Yeah,
Number
go ahead.
one, yes, they can go in and do an audit of Fort Knox and see that all those gold bars are there. But the question is the
Who owns
ownership of those gold bars because of all of the accounting tricks and leasing out and this thing and that thing and the other thing. So that's what I want to see. I don't need to see that the bars are physically there. I want to see who actually owns them. And it's so complicated. I don't know that we're ever going to know that. Secondarily, but this isn't second to that. This I think is really the key piece in here. With the Bank of England, who essentially has very little gold themselves, right? They have been leasing out, but it's more than leasing out the gold that they're holding for other sovereign nations, for other countries. Now, what's really interesting is in the US, this is primarily a derivatives, a paper market for gold. And they can create as much of gold and silver that does not nor ever will exist. And they have. Exactly. So typically, that spot market is about a trade, just getting a pickup in money, not really revealing or reflecting the true fundamental value of an ounce of gold. But delivery is typically not what happens. All of a sudden, we have some very large players that are demanding delivery. And so the Bank of England is sending over other central banks' gold. What happens when those other governments want their gold back? That's what I'm looking at, because we had a rash of gold repatriation, what, in 2016, or maybe it was, yeah, it was after India denominated 85% of their currency, meaning they said, oh, not currency anymore. You can't use it. And there was this huge rash of gold repatriation. Well, I'm thinking that we could see that again. And then what do you think Bank of England is going to do to send that gold back? It's going to take a while for them to reaccumulate it. I don't, this is setting up for a massive explosion. But even with spot markets at all-time highs against every currency, the reality is it still doesn't reflect its true value, because a
Well,
rising gold price isn't not just an indication of a failing currency, it's also an indication of an imminent crisis. So between the gold price and the bond yields dropping dramatically, I think that's why you and I are both feeling that something is very, very close.
I couldn't concur with that more. You summarized it excellently. I want to, there's a slight sidebar story, just to take a break from this excellent theme that we're riding. But talking about the Bank of England, has not London done virtually everything to undermine itself as a financial hub in the world?
Oh, yeah.
They did 0.9 billion in IPOs. They couldn't do 1 billion in initial public offerings as an equity, as the old ex-imperial hub of all financial of the world. And then you have Keir Starmer with his Labour policies. You have Gordon Brown's sell the bottom that was 2000 at 257, which I suspect just changed the name on the clipboard rather than move the metal anywhere,
Right. Right.
and dispossessed the citizens at a ridiculously cheap price to the benefit of someone who was no doubt on the inside of knowing what was coming. And I find the only place that I can see that's going to have a harder time of the right sizing that could befall America is the UK and Europe, in terms of that. Because while I characterize America realizing that there's a lighthouse 100 meters ahead and turning the wheel real late, it feels to me like the UK and the Europe are still arguing as to whether it's a lighthouse and asking it the other ship to turn left because they're refusing to turn. Because you have that war talk of, what do you mean NATO? We'll provide soldiers for Ukraine. It's almost this complete divergence in this. They were sold a story under the Biden regime. They went along with it and they can't pivot with Trump. They're almost like, no, we pre-committed. And they don't have the money. They don't have the military. NATO is 70.5% funded. Surely this is the end of NATO because Trump is cutting up anything he can find in terms of debt. NATO is America. There's 29.5% funded by European nations. And we're talking about a falling out, a fiscal falling out, and that probably the dissolution of NATO and London. I see capital formation moving to Singapore, the Middle East, and many other places before it ever flows back to London. I don't know what your take is on those trends.
I really do agree with you 100% on this. And let's take it a step further, because what we're actually seeing is a realignment of allies, which is, I find, extraordinarily interesting and scary at the same time, right? Because we've talked about how the power is shifting, et cetera, and I don't think that's been lost on President Trump. And he is definitely I mean, allegiances are shifting. What can I say? They are. They are.
And Vance's vice president's speech to Europe was particularly brutal. So it's to show we don't care anymore, and you can take it and go. And the Europeans' response were like, big eyes and all of that. Didn't we just get told off by a vice president where the main president didn't even care to come along? It does seem very much like that. Who wants a bust and broken friend to help drag them down? Who refuses to spend the same amount on the military? I'm positioning people for a collapse of the American military industrial complex and the British and the European, because we can't afford to spend. When you look at the line items, it's interest. It's interest bill.
Oh,
You can't change that. It's in the
that's
banking
it.
cartel contract. That's number one. Number two is sitting on this chart that I've pulled out on a presentation. Maybe I should see if I can pull it up, because it just has the scale of the US military relative to all the other nations. And it's got to go. It's got to get smaller. And I think of these, the movies where we see the old DC-10s rotting in the desert. They don't rot in the desert. That's why they're put there. But all the sand and all the wiring, the copper wire and the silver taken out of them, and they're lined up, planes after planes, that are no longer maintained and are essentially graveyarded. And I see
Right.
a future vision of F-35s that cost 110 million a pop, sitting in a desert somewhere in the States, because just the maintenance, they have 9 hours of maintenance hours for every hour they fly. Just we can't, America can't afford to maintain that. It's the worst time to be a captain in the Air Force and an F-35
Oh,
pilot, I think, for
yeah,
career prospects.
in some ways, I think it's the worst time to be a lot of things, and in other ways, I think it's the best time to be a lot of things. And I say that really clearly because the battle is to get sound money back in the global monetary system again. And I do believe, Francis, that this is our very best shot at it. And what I like to warn people about, because they're using backing and pegging interchangeably, right? So Zimbabwe is a great example of that, because presumably the ZIG was 40% backed, but it never came out in any kind of physical form, and you could not convert or pull out the gold that was in it. So therefore, they could do that 44% devaluation overnight because how can they be stopped? So here's the difference, and I hope all of your listeners just write this down and take it to heart, right? If something is truly backed, then you need to have the ability to convert it into that underlying asset and pull it out. If you can't, it ain't backed, it's pegged, and
It's
it doesn't
derivative.
mean anything. You have nothing to ensure that it's really there. And so that's my personal battle, is getting actually currency backed by it, even if it's at a percentage that if I don't like what my government or my central banks are doing, I can walk in here's I can walk in with this and I can walk out with this. Because what gold really does to governments and central banks is it forces fiscal responsibility. So that what we're dealing with now, frankly, could not happen, period. End of discussion. So just keep that in mind, because we're going to hear an awful lot, or we are hearing an awful lot about the tokenization and these asset-backed securities. If they're really backed, you need to demand that you can pull and take possession of that asset at any given moment when you want to. If you can't, it's pegged. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that is such an important distinction. That is such a valuable statement you made there, that everyone should just literally, as you said, take physical note, write it down, because we are getting proposed the Larry Fink tokenization game. And I've described that as a derivative concept on an underlying. It's almost as if I feel that we're going to be thrown into some reset. Everyone who holds gold will probably have to declare it to put a token alongside it. That's part of the information collection of who owns what. Once they've got
Exactly.
that, the unrealized capital gains taxes for all the people that position smartly, the extraction potentially comes because, there's poor people who hadn't prepared and now they're hungry, they lost their house, and you're doing just great. All the guilt and the tax comes, and then the potential to actually purchase your token and inadvertently lead to the ownership transfer. In other words, you'll be instructed where to hold your gold for it to be tokenized, and the name changes on the clipboard. And they can print up millions of tokens just like they did fiat. And that will be the disempowerment of your gold. And I have a feeling they want to take us down that journey. And the only thing that prevents that is exactly what you said. If I can't exchange it for the metal, it is not truly bad.
Exactly. And keep in mind, too, that every single country has a gold revaluation account. So I think that they could even take it a step further because there are all different words that they use. So you don't understand this is a confiscation, but it is a confiscation. So you need to, what is it, arose by any other name, whether it's taxation or it's royalties or inflation or the ability to carry all of your equity on your phone and then nudge you into spending that. But keep in mind, there is gold and then there is gold. In the US, who has a long history, frankly, gold has been confiscated three times in the US. We only know about 33. And so people say, oh, well, it can't happen again. Well, you know what? If you look and at the retirement plans, the IRAs, I can hold bullion. This is the only piece, well, and these are the only pieces of bullion that I actually personally own. This is what I can put in a retirement account. This is a pre-33 coin that's the same gold content weight. Right? But I can't hold this in an IRA. I can hold Bitcoin in an IRA. I can hold it real estate. I can hold most anything else in an IRA, but I can't hold this. Why? Different classification. So I can't guarantee that the pre-33s would not indeed be confiscated again, but it's way too complicated and expensive and more than likely not worth it. So you have to be conscious of the gold and then the gold. But 100%, if they can get you to register any of your wealth, including, some of the antique pieces that I have here, right? And this was attempted in Greece when Greece was in trouble not that long ago, right? We're seeing it, right? These are precursors. So if you're holding all of your wealth on here and you're out there and you say, oh, gee, I really want that boat, or I really want this, or I want that, you end up spending your equity and you don't even realize that you're doing it. You are volunteering your wealth, which is exactly what inflation does. You're volunteering your work and your wealth for debt instruments. In this country, Federal Reserve note. Well, what's a note? That's a debt instrument,
Correct.
right?
Yeah.
And going back to the allegiances and how that's shifting, that means your wealth can shift anywhere in the world very, very easily. One world government, one world control.
Yeah. And I think when we listen to Larry Fink speak, he also goes, and that means you don't have to worry about your government anymore. He's talking transnationally. This isn't someone who's talking as an American or as a CEO of a corporation. This is someone who is trans beyond. He's beyond the level of normal governments that are put as our elected officials, no matter how much power you think they truly have. He's talking at a
Right.
level beyond that. It is very NWO in terms of that, because then literally they could know all over the world where all the coins and the bars are being held. And it would be searchable on a blockchain, and you could be exposed anywhere where you were. So, I mean, even if you're a nomadic capitalist like myself, it won't matter which country you're in. It's on a chain that anyone can examine, and any tax office could examine with all the different laws and make their case as to why you should be extracted against. Don't forget, we had Janet Yellen with unrealized capital gains as a discussion as well.
Right. I mean, this is what do governments want? They want the ability to tax you. Now we are in transition, and that because we are in a reset transition, that's why I'm saying this is our best opportunity to take our power back. And the way that you do it is by putting sound money that is convertible into the system. So as awful as I'm seeing things are, and as scary as that may be, I also see the opportunity in this.
Oh,
And
yes.
I personally just hold the collectible coins because I don't think that, I think that that's my best shot at staying private and continuing to hold the gold, even if they do an overt confiscation or they continue to do a covert confiscation by tokenizing it and then inspiring you to sell it. That takes more time, but it's also a whole lot less obvious.
Yeah, makes sense. The reval discussion is coming up
Oh,
because
yeah.
of this potential of Fort Knox, and who knows? And I've spitballed and scenario casted out many, many possibilities. But here's a quick thought: if they reval that spot, they'd only pick up around 800 billion. That's almost chicken feed in terms of the numbers.
Yeah. No, you're still referring to the spot market. That is not a true reflection of the
We know that.
fundamental value, right?
Correct.
What ultimately happens, and it doesn't happen even with the first overnight revaluation. So they might do it that way, but how do you know how much gold is really worth? And it's actually pretty simple. I mean, this is fiat money. This is honest, sound money. They're both money. They're just the flip sides of the coin. Well, how is this stuff created? It's created via debt. So you can use debt for a proxy as to how much money is there. Now you out there. Fiat money. Now, you can of course do it country to country, but frankly, this is a global issue. So,
We're all synchronized, aren't we? In debt.
oh yes, we are. And so, if you just take, and it doesn't matter whether the gold is in Fort Knox or it's not in Fort Knox, if it's in the ground or it's above ground, it doesn't really matter. You take all the debt that's been created and you divide it by all of the gold that exists. Above ground, in ground, and you get over US$40,000 per ounce, not 3,000 or 20,000. And I think Elon was even talking about 140.
I was going to say, if you went 100% backed and
Right.
you were only taking above ground gold because there's energy involved in
Right.
getting other stuff up, that's
Perfect.
for future. And of course, if you were going to get 100% backed, you would probably need somewhere between 100 and 250,000 with 36 trillion in debt. The truth is, if you took in welfare, Medicaid, it would need to be more. And
Oh,
then
and you
you've
think
also
of
got to
the
bear in mind,
derivatives.
the derivatives, and then you've got to bear in mind there's no point just getting right for now because they're going to expand and spend again and do it all over. You may as well future-proof yourself for a number of decades so that you're not facing the same debt crisis again. So that almost could put six digits on gold, couldn't it?
Easily.
And do
But
you
you
think they could do it once, once maybe like 3,000, 12,000, 40,000, then maybe could we go through, a continual, because there's going to be a contagion. This reset is not going to be over in a day. It's not going
No.
to be over in a week, a month, or even a year. There's going to be
Yeah.
cycle of cuts and right sizing. And the more you cut, the more income you lose. And then you get more welfare. The finances actually get worse. It's kind of like the smoothie example. You detox, you get sicker because all the
Right.
garbage has to come out. And the more you dig the garbage out, the more you see the garbage and the more it comes out. and the more its effect is that it does that. So you're gonna have a very harsh shrinking of the true GDP. Is a weird number to be using anyway, where there's lots of faults to it. But if we talk in GDP, it will be a smaller country by GDP, won't it?
It'll be a smaller world by GDP.
Yeah.
But the answer to you is yes, and your analogy was exactly correct. And so, you know, it's not, but see, people put value in these numbers. And, you know, this happens to be a $10 trillion Zimbabwe note. So that means in Zimbabwe, I'm a trillionaire. But as we all know, you can't buy anything with it. So yeah. I encourage people not to put value in those numbers, because a trillion times zero is still zero.
Correct.
But that's how they catch people, right? That's how they keep people in the stock market. That's how they keep people in the crypto markets. They let those numbers rise and people look at it and go, wow. And it's kind of like, I did a study and it's not that big a deal. And I used the Bureau of Labor Statistics so I could have consistency. And I looked at a basket of food from 1913, 1971, and I just did it recently. And what I found, which I thought was super interesting, that the cost of that same basket over that period of time was up something like 2,900%. Even the manipulated spot silver market was up more than that. So it maintained, that's why I use silver for barterability. It maintains your ability to buy the same goods and services over time.
Yep.
But spot gold, manipulated spot gold, was up over 13,000% during that same time frame. And here in the U.S., the average wage in 1971 was $10,200. Now it's something like $59,000. So those numbers, it sounds better, except that one worker could support a family of four on $10,200, whereas you need two wage earners at the $58,000 or $59,000, and you're still hand to mouth. You are still going into massive debt, and you're still having trouble putting food on the table. So it doesn't really matter what that number is, but it is the reset of that, to your earlier point, that will support the next iteration of money. Okay. Like, for example, great example, going back to 1933. This coin has a face value of $20. So $20 for an ounce of gold. But they printed, oh, wait, maybe this is even better. Okay. This is a $1 gold coin, which is, if you can see it, it's teeny tiny, a 20th of an ounce, and it backed a dollar bill. When they legalized the inflation experiment and they legalized the Federal Reserve, now this $20 bill, or this 20th of an ounce $1 gold coin, now supported $2.40. So they made that shift, created lots of money. We had the roaring 20s, and in 33, to the level of money that they had printed, they revalued the gold after they took it away from everybody from $20 to $35. But in reality, based on the amount of money that they had, new money they had created from it, should have been $45 at that time. They just didn't think that they could get the public to swallow that big of a devaluation, right? In 1971, we had our second revaluation, which is where the official gold price in the U.S. still is, $42.22, when in reality, and to our earlier point that we were talking about, it should have been probably $10,000 or $20,000 then. That supports a currency. It's not that there isn't enough gold, which has been an argument that everybody has tried to use, which is ridiculous.
No.
It's how much its value is in terms of this.
The debt instrument.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great and very systemic and clear-cut explanation that I'm sure everyone will hopefully appreciate in its fullest. So here we are. What do you think? Are we on the bridge of that abyss? Do you think we will get the hypervaluation? So here's a couple of thoughts. Let's
Okay.
organize my question. The stock market's hypervalued because the bond market's collapsing, and we've been given this binary world when, of course, it's a 60-40 portfolio. But many years before that, there was a third of it in gold. And in 10%, at least 20% in certain cases, they eliminated that when they did the financialization of everything. And now we have the debt market collapse has led to a hypervalued stock market. But now gold is moving also after a 50% loss since 2020. Everything that's bad is good for gold, it seems, and everything that's good for gold is good for gold. It's almost, apart from a possible short dip in a disinflationary vibe, which tends to not be very big, it leads to an even greater move. Is there anything that is bad for gold right now, in terms of outcome, that could be a medium long-term lid for it that you could see? Circumstances.
No, when I'm looking at all of the circumstances, because also let me just kind of point out that the rise in the markets are also due to the massive amounts of new money that has been pushed into the system to reflate them so that you stay in there. I personally don't see anything bad for gold. I mean, it's gold, it's used in every single sector of the global economy. It's not rocket science. What that tells you is out of everything, gold, and I'll put silver in there as well, because both of them are used in every single, I mean, it's used in space travel, it's used in food, it's used in electronics, it's used in solar, it's used in the financial system, it's used everywhere, dental, I mean, it's used everywhere, medical. So the demand, it has the broadest base of functionality and the broadest base of demand. This stuff has demand in one place. Even this stuff, you know, dare I say it, there it looks like a gold coin, but it's actually Bitcoin because they want you to think of it as gold. It has use in one place. And I really wanted to bring up something that you said earlier to that point, which is it takes energy and labor. It takes it to pull this stuff and this stuff out of the ground, right? But then that energy and labor is stored inside of the physical metal. And then that same energy is reused in wherever they're using the gold and the silver. And with gold, it's indestructible, which means that it can be in any form and it can be reused in any area. And I like to bring out my sterling silver flatware that I accumulated at yard sales over the years, because gold and silver in any form is monetary at its base, but this is in one place. It takes tremendous amount of energy, not a lot of labor, but a lot of energy to create this. And that energy is used up. It is not used up in the gold and silver. It is held in there and then used again and again and again and again and again. I don't know. To me, this going into this fight, it's not even a pen knife. It's nothing. Because it only has demand in one area. This is a bazooka.
And as the issuance of Bitcoin gets less, the amount of energy maintaining the grid per token continues to climb, as well, the entire system. And
It's
we
a great
just
point.
another exchange being hacked for 1.4 billion. I've got such fatigue towards these events nowadays. Is the juice worth the squeeze with that amount going on? I'd prefer gold. I mean, the Japanese yen mini carry trade unwind of August of 2024. Bitcoin fell from 70K to 49,000. That was a 30% drop. Gold fell 4.5% and then went on to make a new high within the week. And I highlight this, and tell me if you think I'm onto something, Lynette. That it's when everybody else needs the same money too, because we are a global system and the demand destroying event affects everyone. Even if I'm got a great business, if all the consumers are getting killed, no one is coming into my community and paying premiums. If everyone around me has got no money, there's no clients. So eventually everybody has to sell at the demand destroying event low. So actually, the downside beta of an asset at an extreme event is almost more important than how much it does on the upside, because you're not selling on the upside. The greed keeps you in. It's the pain that takes you out. And here you have something that lost 30% on, I would say, a medium, small-sized financial event involving the yen carry trade. In
Right, because they
retrospect, it got kind
tumbled
of serious.
in.
Sorry, go ahead. Give us your thoughts
No,
on that.
you keep going, because they just turned it around really fast. They dipped their toe in, the markets went rah, and then they backed out. So, yes, please continue.
No, so just for that size event, my point is, should people not be looking at more? How does it perform when the whole world's in deep stress? It's not the high water mark. It's the point that you're most likely to sell it at to pay a rent check or to buy your groceries in a distressed situation. And that's it's the low water mark. It's the most traders get out on stop losses. They don't have targets. That's where you value your trade. Not at, oh, but it's up here right now. If your stop loss is down there, that's the only point you're getting out. And
Exactly.
that's my feeling with that. And I would just wonder if you have any thoughts on the volatility. I don't think the volatility of asset, everybody talks about that, the absolute number, but Bitcoin's gone up 100,000%, but da 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 da. It's about when you buy it and when you are for seller.
Exactly. And keep in mind that the way they make the transitions is to make things seem normal. And for me, I always felt, because I've been watching Bitcoin since it was $7 a coin. And some people might say to me, Bo, oh, weren't you stupid because you didn't buy it at $7 a coin? First of all, my ethics won't allow me to support the lie. And to me, that Bitcoin is a Trojan horse used to get people comfortable in the cryptocurrencies so they can take us into a surveillance economy.
Yes.
And so I don't really care what it does, because I don't marry the numbers. What I marry is, yeah, gold is sound money. It's real money. It's tangible. And again, it holds the energy, and that energy gets used over and over and over and over again. Regardless, I want a true flight to safety asset that actually has been tested for thousands of years. The cryptocurrency test is still lies in our future.
Well, it came out after the biggest great financial crisis, and really has yet to face a proper full-blown event of the scale of GFC. And I doesn't that the fact that it exists and that we have Larry Fink normalizing it and Donald Trump talking about potentially, strategic assets in it, very much tell you that they're not going to give us our opportunity at real gold-based money, because quite clearly the alternative and the bluffer and the derivative option is being pushed in front of us here. And you've got to look at it and say the people that seem to have the power are not going to let us have our sound money.
No, that doesn't really benefit them, and they are clearly in control. And there are certain things I won't say, but keep in mind, because this is what they did and this is how they do it, and it's super easy. First, we had this as money. Then, oh my God, how inconvenient to carry those coins around in your pocket. This is so much more convenient and easier, and it's a gold certificate. And
And
at the
we'll
same
hold the coin
time,
for you. Yeah, we'll hold the coin for you,
we'll hold the coin for you. You can trust us. And
you
then they brought this out, which is a Federal Reserve note. I think you can see how much alike they look. And these were all allowed to run at the same purchasing power value for 20 years between 1913 and 1933. So when they took the gold out of the system, these two went away, but people were 20 years used to using this. And so They didn't realize that anything had happened, right? When everything had happened. And the same thing is true. They've been moving us to cashless and to a digital economy since the 50s.
Yeah.
Since the 50s. So, you know, yeah, everybody gets comfortable with the cryptocurrencies and all of that. Have they gotten enough adoption yet? I'm guessing they have. Adoption's been huge, and that's how they do it. What do you think the Roaring 20s was about? Getting us used to this, right? And that's the same thing. So, hey, you have right now, we have physical bills. We have, you know, I mean, I don't use this when I go shopping, although there will come a time when maybe I will, right? Or this. And then they take everything else away and we're just left in a surveillance economy. So if everything you have is inside of an intangible system and you cannot pull the real money out, you're a slave. You're 100%. Absolutely a slave.
I think there's no better summary than that. And I have very little further. I think I should ask, we should almost close on that. I will say, if we are talking in 3 months' time, Lynette, will the stock market be lower? Will gold be higher? Will Bitcoin be higher or lower? In 3 months' time, with the vibes you're getting right now, risk on or risk off?
I would say that it is more than likely, you can't hold me to this because I don't really have a great crystal ball. I do think that spot gold and spot silver will be higher. I think that spot silver in the US, because it's done it in most other currencies, will in the US dollar will conclude its cup. And that will be like somewhere around $50 an ounce on silver. I think with spot gold, to see that in the next 3 months, somewhere above 3,000 an ounce, maybe like 3,100, 3,200, would not be surprising. But I could also see, I don't know, there is a shift in the trend, because I see a lot more inflation coming in. And so that
I think you're right. You're catching the 70% with the 3.2, but there's a lottery ticket to the upside with a very small downside ticket that says, well, maybe if they do a little disinflation, you might get 2.7 on a short week or two, but you could actually get 5, 6, some crazy number on the upside. It feels asymmetric, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. And it's so hard to tell what the markets are going to do, because quite frankly, they're all manipulated. And to your earlier point, everything has been turned into a financial asset. And the CME group, you know, the derivatives group here in the US, are making contracts smaller and smaller and smaller to attract the average retail person so that they can more easily transfer that risk. And then once they get enough people in retail buying all of these derivative contracts against gold, against silver, they can create as much of it as they want against stocks or bonds or what have you. I think they're doing like a small corn contracts now, so some food and oil contracts, little tiny contracts that the average person can afford. That really is about transferring the risk from the many or from the few to the many. Then it becomes too expensive to bail out and everything collapses, and it's the little guy that got suckered into this system that ends up holding that bag of whatever is in that bag.
Yeah, the big bad loss.
If you don't hold it, you don't own it. All we really have to do is convert our garbage fiat money into sound money and then sit on the sidelines and let this thing play out. But while you're doing that, make sure my focus has shifted a lot over the last year and a half, I'd say, to building community locally, because I've been preparing for this outcome since 2008. And that's a long time to be I become an urban farmer, and seriously, do I
I
look like a
remember.
farmer to you? Right? But it's food, water, energy, security, barterability, wealth preservation, community, and shelter. You've got to bring whatever gifts you have, whatever tools you have into a community so that you can survive this and create security in all of those mantra areas. Go to a farmer's market, get to know your local grower or who's creating your food. Give them a day. If you are in a big city, well, go to the local community garden and volunteer if they don't have any plots, or even if they do have plots and you don't know what you're doing. I guarantee you there's always something to do on a farm, right? We could always use help. And then when push comes to shove, who's going to get the food and the water and everything else? So local community has really risen to the tippy top, but the global community is at that same level for me. Because if we can get globally 3% of the population to convert their fiat into gold and silver, and it can be in any form, so there's always a way to afford it, right? Then I think we have a shot at a seat at the table on the new financial system and get that component of convertible gold in there. That's what I'm fighting for.
Love that. That was such a great speech. And I double down on that one. I couldn't have said it better. Thank you for your time today, Lynette. Please tell us how people can engage with you and help support you with your amazing message and your work that you're doing in community development.
Well, thank you so much. It's LynetteZhang.com. I'm very, very active on YouTube and Twitter at the Lynette Zhang, and Instagram and Facebook at Lynette Zhang. So, come and become part of the community and let's have this conversation. And what I'm really trying to build as well is on Tuesdays, Mountain Central Time. So it's a different time zone, I know. No. Mountain Standard Time. I don't know why I have Central in my head, but Mountain Standard Time on Tuesdays, I do a live and I take as many questions. I sit here and as long as people want to ask me questions and have that conversation and build that community. I think that that is the single most important thing that you can do.
Great. And for the people, I don't mind you giving a little bit more information, but only that which you feel comfortable to give. For people that are potentially in your circumference where your community is based, do you want to say which state they are and how they could engage? Are you happy to give that out? Because I'm quite happy for you to give a little bit more info for our US audience. I endorse Lynette as being authentic, consistent in this space for an immense time period. And I would say you can chipping in and helping out and being part of the team and becoming part of the network of self-reliance for both food, energy, and water is absolutely one of the smartest things you can do. Which particular state, and even for those that might come out of state, where would they find you physically?
Well, I have been doing a lot of traveling on a global basis, but here in the US, actually anywhere. We happen to be located, our headquarters is in Phoenix, Arizona, but we work with people all over the country. And what we do is I've developed over many, many years a sound money strategy that's based upon those repeatable patterns that happen 100% of the time. And so when somebody comes into us, the first thing we want to really talk about is your goals and your circumstances so that we can design a portfolio that actually supports what you're trying to accomplish. And we are super keen on education. I really don't like it when anybody just takes my word for something. So in all of my work, I give you the links so that you can, I make it easy for you to do your own due diligence and hold our toes to the fire. But we are building community in that way. Plus, I have a whole staff at some point, I'm not quite sure when, but we'll be issuing another YouTube channel on all the rest of those mantra pieces. But I still have the staff in place. So if somebody has a question about how to plant a garden or do any of that, we can connect them with the right person to talk to. But at Zhang Enterprises, we execute that sound money strategy.
Awesome. Lynette Zhang, thank you so much for your time today. Have an amazing rest of the week. It was awesome talking to you again.
Always and anytime, anytime at all, Francis. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Bye for now.
Tired of profit wipeouts and blown accounts from following trade signal groups and other YouTube channels? Looking for a better way to trade, reduce your stress, and minimize your risk? Become a skilled technical analyst and see the charts and markets in a new light using the successfully proven HVF method by Francis Hunt, while being surrounded and supported by a principled, structured, and experienced community. Enjoy a constructive learning environment while practically trading markets, supported by a bespoke platform run through browser and app, specifically designed to teach and engage you whilst learning and growing as the markets move. This is not a Telegram or Slack signal group. All trade ideas are based on a proprietary technical analysis process honed over decades, which is the HVF method, leading to trade ideas with fast-moving breakouts and tight stops, exact entries and exits, nuanced interim considerations, and ultimately, strong rewards. Submissions are graded and scored by Francis for potential high-quality setups, and we provide bespoke tools to help get the job done properly and with precision. Over time and with focused effort, you'll begin to look at charts and price action just like Francis. Community updates every day by Francis and our three webinars a week provide a 360-degree approach, which are presented by our experienced team of trade leaders to spot potential trades. We're a community of self-actualized individuals, spanning the globe and active 24/7, 365. The premium community provides a warm, supportive, and cooperative place for people willing to listen, participate, contribute, and to learn. We've changed thousands of traders' lives. Transform your approach to trading now. Transform your life. Book an introductory call with us on the link below.